The following podcast is brought to you by the Pokemon Fan Club. Let us show you our Pokemon. Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour. I am your truly outrageous host, Jake.
I am your lovably charming guide, Josh.
And today we're going to Vermilion City. We're on the road to Vermilion today.
How many million?
Vermilion City.
It's Vermilion.
Vermilion.
Hopefully you noticed when you downloaded this that the runtime is maybe shorter than usual.
Oh god, I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Because there's a lot of stuff that happens in and around Vermilion City. But we're holding off on the SSN and Diglett's Cave. That'll be its own episode next time.
Yeah.
So this episode, we're only doing Vermilion City, and we're going to go into Route 11 after that. Hopefully, we won't be here for the next 4 hours talking about Pokemon.
That's my dream. Before we go to Vermilion, though, we got some Pokemon news.
All right, guys, first up, just a friendly reminder, don't forget to get your Zoroark? I'm going to say Zoroark. That's what I probably decided on last episode.
I usually defer to what my little brother calls him after Gen 2, so he calls it Zoroark.
All right, that's its name as far as I'm concerned. Don't forget to get your Zoroark on Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. It's available until the 20th, which is Friday.
2 days from now.
2 days from when you're hearing this.
Where is this available?
Online.
Just anywhere online?
Yep, go on to a mystery gift from your main menu and receive via internet.
Oh, cool. You don't even have to leave your house.
No.
You don't have to go to a McDonald's to get it or anything. That's pretty cool.
Nope, not like Hoopa.
Last time I said I had some news.
Okay.
By news, I mean olds, because it's not crazy new. But about a month ago, well, about 2 months ago from the time you hear this, Comics Alliance posted an article about the original concept art and like design document for Pokemon.
Okay.
It's really neat. There's like a lot of...
I think I saw this.
There's a lot of like cool things in it that didn't make it into the game and like a lot of stuff that did but is different now. Like Pokemon centers were originally inns and you would just sleep there for the night and you could buy Pokemon from like...
From like a quarter machine.
Yeah, from right? capsule yeah. machines. Yeah. From Gachapon machines, I think they're called. The article on Comics Alliance is not super like... in depth because it comes from another website and you can look at the whole thing there on glitterberry.com. Berry with an I, B-E-R-R-I, glitter spelled regular. Okay. Another thing that is real cool before we get off this, the most important aspect of Pokemon, according to Satoshi Tajiri, who I guess created Pokemon, I guess. Thanks, bro. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Appreciate
No, that. Yeah, that's accurate.
He said he wanted to design games around one single verb. And for Pokemon, that verb is trade. The original impetus for Pokemon was all based on trading. So like, obviously you'd have to catch Pokemon because you need stuff to trade with. But like, he wanted that to be a major feature of the game. And I think he nailed it. Because that's a lot of what I remember of playing is just trading with friends and like...
I didn't trade that much.
Well, you did with yourself.
Right, but to get the Pokemon I couldn't get in one version over the other.
I remember, like, crazy bus deals, you know, like, okay, I'll give you this, and I'll trade you another thing, and you just give me a Pidgey if you give me this one thing. Or, like, I just need it for, like, a second, and I'll trade it back. I just need to fill out my Pokedex, and you can have it right back, stuff like that. So, I really like it. It looks really interesting. The concept art is, like, very anime. But it's pretty cool looking. I'm excited. I haven't read the whole document yet, but I will have that on the show post. That's all I have, though.
All right, final bit of news for this episode. Starting on November 27th and running until December 23rd at participating McDonald's, which in my experience is all of them.
All of them.
You will be able to get a Hoopa, I think, from either from connecting to their internet, or I'm not sure if they're giving out like codes for it. I don't know exactly how it's going to work. But they have partnered with McDonald's to distribute Hoopa.
That's very strange.
To trainers. But it does also coincide with Pokemon Happy Meals.
That's pretty cool. If you're into little tiny crap toys.
Yeah, it's a little crappy. There's 8 different figures. And I guess it comes with special cards for the trading card game as well.
That's cool. Go to McDonald's. Get yourself a McFlurry. Get yourself a Hoopa.
Get yourself a Happy Meal. Good card. And maybe like... cool Pikachu or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever figure they have that week. I don't know how McDonald's decides what toys it gives away.
I think it's random. Take a picture and send it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Also, speaking of Happy Meal toys, I have one for you that my aunt gave me back in June.
Oh,
that she found at an antique store that I have in my room that I just keep forgetting about. So I will give that to you after we're done here.
Okay. So I think that's it for the news, unless you had anything else, which you already said that you did not.
No. If we don't have any more news, we might as well just go ahead and take that trip.
All right, let's do it. Welcome to Vermilion City, the port of exquisite sunsets.
That's it.
That's it.
There's only one for all. Yeah, man. All four generations. They all agreed on a slogan.
They made a brand and they stayed on it.
I like that. So Vermilion City. It's like an orangish town.
Yep. It's got like orange roofs.
Roofs.
I think it might be called Vermilion City because of the sunsets bathing it in orange light.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on here. By a lot, I mean about the same as last time. So Josh, why don't you tell me a little bit about the town itself?
All right. Well, it's a port city. It's built right on the shore of the ocean, which borders it on the east and south. The setup of it is weird. There's like a strip on the north that has the Pokemon Center, one building that you can get into and two that you can't.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like bottlenecks down to the south half.
Yeah, there's like a little like inlet that you have to go around. I have the map pulled up. And then that goes into like the rest of the town.
Yeah, where there's a Pokemart, there's another building you can get into, there's the Pokemon fan club and the gym.
There's two buildings you can get into that look like houses.
One of them is the Pokemon fan club.
No, that's a separate thing.
Oh, it is?
Yep. And I checked this against Generation 3, so they're the same.
Okay.
The only difference is the construction site is a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, there's a huge construction site.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I have that as part of the places of interest.
Okay.
That southern stretch goes like way out to the east, past the Diglett's Cave and into Route 11. And then on the south end of that, like southeast in the city, is the docks leading down to the harbor.
Right.
The gym is in maybe one of the weirdest locations that a gym can be in.
Yeah.
It's on its own little, like, peninsula. I don't know what you would call that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a, what's the opposite of a cove?
Right. It's facing away from the city, out into the ocean, because everything is facing the south.
Right.
Which is a limit of the graphics, that's fine.
Yeah, it happens.
It's blocked off by a fence that you could walk through if there just was not this skinny little tree in the way. Yeah, the only way you can get there is to no cut or surf.
And the only way you can do that is to go to another place.
Well, what we did, wink wink, was traded for a Pokemon that had cut. That's why we're going to the SSN later.
Sure.
So we don't have to go on there and get cut yet.
Okay.
Wait!
Warning! There's some spoilers coming your way.
Wonderful!
So you get cut on the SSN. Alright guys, now that we're under the spoiler wall.
Right.
You have to get it there, but for the sake of simplicity, because we're not doing any SSM business until next episode, we got cut. We acquired it somehow, all right?
We just traded. I traded a Rattata, an extra Rattata that I caught, for somebody's Bellsprout that knows cut. And so now, since Misty's badge, the Cascade badge, lets us use cut, now we can get into the gym.
This seems very specific. It seems like a thing that you actually did.
It's just Rattata is so common, and I know Bellsprout learns cut. That's all that was.
Okay. Yeah, you have to like either swim around, which is weird, or cut through the thing, which is a bad business practice. Like, the rule is you have to take on all comers, so why you grow a little tree to keep them out?
It fits with the personality of Lieutenant Surge, though. I have a theory about him that we'll talk about.
Okay. There's a couple things in this episode, by the way, guys, that are into the conspiracies and theories. Waters, dipping our toes into that. We're going to do a whole episode just on conspiracies and theories and stuff in Pokemon. But we're going to kind of talk about little ones as we go. And today, I'm excited to talk about two.
Two?
Two.
I can think of one.
One has to do with Lieutenant Surge, and one has to do with that other thing.
Right, the other thing.
Stay tuned, guys. Anyway, we'll talk about the gym later. Let's talk about this dock for a second, because I'm looking at the map, and there's some boats in the harbor, right? But you cannot get out of there. Like, you can't...
Like, sail out?
You can't take the boats out.
No, yeah, the city is surrounded by rocks.
Yeah, it's covered...
The dock leads down into a harbor, which is a separate area. A separate
That's where the SSAN is. But, like, there are boats within this little bay.
But if you look at the map of Kanto itself, Vermilion is in the middle. So that when the SSAN sets sail, it has to go either through or under the bicycle road to get out. Or else it's, like, it's landlocked in that body of water.
But oh, Fuchsia's below it, right?
Yeah, Fuchsia's below it, and then the cycling road and Celadon are to the west.
I don't know, that's weird. I never thought about that.
I think in the remake, cycling road is a bridge.
Okay, that
But I don't makes know sense. If it's a drawbridge.
Sure.
I think it would have to be, because the SSAN is, like, the biggest, most luxurious ship in the world. So to get through there, it would have to, like, either raise or lower, or just be super high.
Right.
Anyway, I think that's just a weird thing that they didn't think all the way through.
Probably not.
And then one last thing before we get into places and people is that the people in the city do mention that they are very careful about pollution because they live in a constant fear of a Grimer outbreak should the waters get too polluted.
Huh.
In Gold Silver, Heart Gold and Soul Silver and Crystal, in Celadon City, there's like a little pond in the middle.
Yeah.
Which has been polluted and is infested with Grimers.
Huh.
So that's just like, I think, just a neat little callback. I don't know if that's in the originals or if that's only in the remakes that they talk about that.
I don't know.
Because I have not, I'm not playing the original because I don't really have it anymore. So
right. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Celadon's a little bit farther down the road. So people, places, what are we talking about
people,
demographic-wise?
Let's break down demographics. Generation 1, red and blue, 25 people living or existing in Vermilion City.
Hanging about in...
In yellow, Officer Jenny moves in, so there's 26.
Okay.
Generation 2, there are 30 because there is an addition of a building at the entrance to the harbor, and there's some people chilling in there.
Okay.
Generation 3, there's 29, and then in Generation 4, there are 34. Again, it increases because of the harbor building being added.
Okay. I like that every time, every generation, they add some more people.
Yeah.
I like that to make it like seem, because it's Vermilion City.
Except for one, that's real sad.
Okay, so any people of note besides for our illustrious gym leader? And there's one other guy of note, but we're going to talk about him when we talk about that place. Or we can just talk about that place now. We can do this in tandem. We're multitasking, guys.
What place are you talking about?
The fan club?
Fan club is next on my list of sights to see in Vermilion City. Pokemon fan club. Vermilion City is home to the Kanto branch of the Pokemon fan club, which has branches in almost every region except for Johto, because I guess they share theirs with Kanto.
They are the only two that connect in any way that you can figure out.
So just to give you guys some fun little things to look forward to, here are the cities that the fan club is in the other regions.
Okay.
It's in Slateport City in Hoenn.
Okay.
Hearthome City in Sinnoh. Icarus City in Unova. And Lavere City in Kalos. All have branches or chapters of the Pokemon fan club.
Okay. I like Lavere City.
Lavere City is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a weird one that we talked about a little bit in one of our Q&As recently. Yeah. I don't know any of those other towns because I haven't played Diamond, Pearl, Black, or White.
Well, you know Slateport.
Have I got there yet?
Yep, it's before the third gym.
Then I must have gotten there.
It's the port city. You arrive on boat.
Did I?
Yep. If you beat the third gym, you've definitely been through there.
It's been a while.
Anyway.
I'll get to it.
The Pokemon Fan Club exists as a place for people to gather and gush about what they love about their favorite Pokemon.
I like that the in-universe there is a place to do this.
Yep.
Because Pokemon are real cool, you guys.
And in general, the members seem to favor more unevolved, cute Pokemon.
Cuter Pokemon.
Clefairy or Cleffa or all the babies.
Yeah.
Pikachu, obviously. But just like, yeah, they like the cute Pokemon, not so much the cool,
right,
rip your guts out
your boy
Pokemon.
My boy Teddy Ursa.
Right. There's some people in here. I don't know how many. I don't remember. If you talk to them, they're just like, man, Pokemon, right? And you're like, yeah, man, yeah. Pokemon, right? But if you talk to the chairman, he will lock you into what appears to be a very long, very painful monologue about his favorite Pokemon, Rapidash.
Okay.
Which I was gonna transcribe, but didn't. He's just like, oh man, Rapidash, so pretty, so fast when it runs, oh my God, the fire. And so it's majestic. Just like, there's a lot of ellipses, yeah, ellipses to like break it up. So you're just like standing there for like 20 minutes while this guy just rambles on.
So Stan Lee wrote this in 1965. or you need to get the up all night mask from Majora's Mask in order to stay up through it before he bores you to sleep.
At the end of this speech, he awards you with the bike voucher, which you can then take back to the Cerulean City bike shop in exchange for a free bike.
Free million dollar bike. So you're the first person in history to sit through this speech.
I guess. Or it's like a... He might mention that it's a special promotion or something that the fan club is running with the bike shop. I don't remember. But he tells you when he gives you the voucher, he's like, I don't need a bike. My Fearow can fly me anywhere.
So they're like cute Pokemon, but he has a Fearow.
He has a Fearow and a Rapidash.
Which is one of the grodiest looking Pokemon. What happens if you come back later? I think I read that it's the same story. Maybe it's a little different. You don't get a bike voucher anymore, though.
Well, no. He might just run through the same thing again. I don't know. I've never gone back.
No, like in the later generations.
I don't know. It didn't really say much.
I think you might get like a rare candy or something like that.
Maybe.
For it. I read it today. But most of my Pokemon RAM was taken up by that anime episode that we'll talk about in a little bit.
So we're going to leave the fan club now. We'll head to the northeast and check out what's going on at this construction site.
Okay,
it's just flat ground, depending on what you're playing. If you're in HeartGold and SoulSilver, it's raised a little bit.
It's elevated, yeah.
We'll talk about the difference in a minute. Okay. Because HeartGold and SoulSilver makes a lot of changes to it. And by a lot, I mean like one change.
What? More than zero.
So there's an old man there. He's got a Machop.
Oh, God. Does he have his coffee?
Yeah, he's not a drunk, angry old man.
I'm just worried.
He's just like, I got all this money and a Machop, so like we're going to build something.
We're doing it right now.
His Machop is just like pounding the land flat because there's no steam rollers, I guess.
I guess. I feel like there's got to be an easier way to do that.
No, I guess not.
Hmm.
I'm sure there's better Pokemon for it now, but I don't know if there really was back then. And that's really all you get. But if you come back 3 years later, playing as Gold and Gold Silver, you know, all those ones, all the Johto games.
Yep.
He's still there. He might have a Machoke, or it might still be a Machop.
I think it was a... Don't quote me on this, guys. Or tweet us and tell us if we're wrong or not. I think it was a Machoke.
Okay, I have Machop written again in my notes for Gen 2.
Okay, maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm wrong.
But maybe in Gen 4 it's a Machoke. I hope it is. Three years, like, I hope he just beat that ground so much
that he evolved
into a Machoke. So you talk to them after arriving in Vermilion City, which is the first city that you land in.
Yeah.
Because you take the SS Aqua from Johto.
From Johto over to Kanto.
And you arrive at the port in Vermilion. Old man's still there. Nothing has been built.
The ground is a little raised, depending on what version you're in.
Right. You talk to the old man, he's like, man, I just had plenty of money to clear this lot, but I don't have any money to start building.
Oh, that's sad. That's real sad.
And then in Generation 4, the area has a bunch of like smashable rocks and stuff around it, which kind of fluffs out the Pokemon population.
Yeah, we'll talk about that
later. But in Generation 2, I did not know about this. There's a glitch of seeing a theme of old men.
Old men and glitches. That's what I'm saying.
In Generation 2, the Machop here, so not directly the old
man.
Can
you catch him?
Linked to him. No, can't catch him. The Machop here can cause what's called the glitch dimension glitch.
I don't like this.
I'm not sure exactly what it does, but if you speak to Machop and then immediately go into your bag and use the coin case key item that you get in Celadon City, it will activate the glitch, which I have not seen, but from what I've read about it, it is just an aesthetic change with no negative effect on the save file, so it won't wreck your items or your Hall of Fame or anything. I don't know what visibly changes, though. I'm going to have to look it up, and I'll link a video in the episode post.
Okay, yeah, I'm excited to see that, because the Pokemon glitches are so weird.
This one is super weird, because this is just a Machop on the overworld map that you talk to, and then it goes, Machop!
Item.
And then you use an item, and it goes, but you can also activate it by talking to the Machoke in the Goldenrod department store, or by viewing the Pokedex entries for Machop, Machoke, or Machamp, and then using the coin case.
What is up with these Pokemon in that? In Gen 2?
So, just in Gen 2. And I don't understand, like, why it's that family of Pokemon. And, like, on the overworld map, that's just a sprite with a text box. Like,
right? Like,
is there anything even there telling the game that's a Machop?
Obviously, if it's that connected, there's got to be some.
The only thing I can think is like, because the text will come up, it says Machop, and then it does the colon.
Yeah.
It's the two dots, right? Yes. So it's Machop, colon, and then whatever he says.
Right. Wow.
So maybe the text from that triggers something? I don't know. It's so bizarre.
That's real weird.
That we're running the heck out of here. The whole world is different. Maybe it just flips everything negative. I don't know.
I don't know.
Up is down, left is right.
Cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs are living together.
Mass hysteria.
And we stumble our way down to one of the houses in the southern half. I think it's the one next to the fan club.
Okay.
Okay. There's an in-game trade there in the first generation and the remakes. There's a girl who wants to trade her Farfetch'd for a Spearow, which is super one-sided. Trade in favor of you.
In favor of you, because there's only one Farfetch'd in the game.
And it's this one.
This one. And Spearows are like a dime a dozen. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Are Spearows in both versions? Are they in red and blue?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. For some reason, I always thought they were just in blue. But, I mean, that's a memory from when I was 8, so you can't trust it.
Right. In Pokemon Yellow, this trade is gone.
How you get a Farfetch'd?
I think they might be in the wild in that
one. Oh.
Or this trade is still there, but it did not look like that from what I was reading.
Okay.
What I was reading, by the way, I don't think we ever mentioned this. We get 90% of this information off of Bulbapedia.
Yeah.
So if you don't use Bulbapedia, go check it out. It's super informative. There's so much information there.
It's very useful. I've been using it a lot to work on my Power Ranger Pokemon teams.
I gotta get back into that.
It's a real good resource. It's thorough. I like the way it's formatted because it's like a wiki, like a regular Wikipedia, but like a little cleaner, I actually think. And, like, it's, like, just aesthetically pleasing. There's some ads, but they're not a problem.
Right, yeah.
And then, like, the other thing is, it's real informative. Like, everything there is there, and, like, it helps you out. Like,
yeah,
it's not...
I get all my source images for, like, those wallpapers and stuff.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah, they have a lot.
Yeah.
Like, everything has an image attached to it. Even if it doesn't look like it, you normally just, like, hit, like, a button that says show, and it'll just, like, oh, here's all their team. You know, and stuff like that. It's really well put together.
Yeah. So I think the trade is replaced. Getting back on track here.
Yep.
But maybe it's not. Maybe this is in a different area. Anyway, in the yellow version, Officer Jenny, who's added to the population, which we talked about earlier,
yep.
is here. I think she's in this house. Maybe she's not. I don't remember. It's been so long since I played yellow. I don't want to get hung up on this, so I'm going to just move on.
Okay.
But she gives you Squirtle.
Okay.
Because she's like, this Pokemon is a troublemaker, and I think it could benefit from... having a good trainer.
A good trainer.
So she gives you Squirtle. So now you're 5 cities in? 5 towns or cities into the game, and you have all the starters.
No, 4. Pallet Town. Okay.
Yeah. So Pallet, Viridian, Pewter, Cerulean, and Vermilion. So that's 5. Okay.
I rarely count Pallet because it's three buildings, and you leave and you don't need to go back. But yeah, 5. You're right, 5.
And you have all the starters. You have your Pikachu. So you got a pretty good varied team, even if you haven't caught a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So Charmander was on the way here?
Charmander was up on Route 24.
Okay.
Above Cerulean. We definitely talked about it.
I thought Bulbasaur was there.
Bulbasaur is in Cerulean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you get those two, like...
Bam, bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we leave that house, and then there's a fishing guru in this town, I think in that southernmost house.
Okay. Who gives the one, you the... Because it's on the water.
Yeah, he gives you the old rod, so you can catch so many Magikarps.
As many as you want.
And maybe like a Goldeen sometimes.
Magikarp to your heart's content. Maybe one of them will be shiny. It won't be.
No, probably not.
It won't be shiny. He'll never catch a
odds
shiny.
Are, it won't be shiny. I don't know, I've caught one in each of the last 2 games so far.
I caught Goose. I got none. No shinies. I want shiny Eevee. They're white. They look great. No such luck. On that.
Nope. So we leave the fishing guru's house. We'll head east now. We'll go down to the harbor for a minute just to see what's going on.
All right, yeah. Let's check it out. Poke around.
So we walk down the docks, go through the gate, which might be a gatehouse if you're playing a future generation.
Yeah.
Come out on the other side of the harbor where usually it's just the end of the dock and the SS Anne.
Yep.
Which is a giant ship. The SS Aqua is also docked here sometimes if you're playing in Johto, and there's the Sea Gallop ferries from Fire Red and Leaf Green that also leave from here.
I have no idea what a Sea Gallop ferry is. Josh, you're going to have to explain that to me.
Okay, the Sea Gallop ferries are from the remakes. They're from Leaf Green, Fire Red, and they bring you to the new areas in those games, the Sevii Islands.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure when we'll talk about. but we definitely will talk about them.
I imagine later.
I just don't know if we're going to do it when they show up in the remakes or if we're going to get through all of regular Kanto first and then go there.
Maybe we'll do that one.
Okay. It's not a drastic difference.
No.
So that's it, really. If you try to go in after the SS Anne has left, there's a sailor who's like, I can't let you do that. You might fall into the open ocean and drown. So you you cannot go out there. But if you trade a Pokemon and get cut before you get on the SS Anne, I don't mean get cut like someone cuts you.
Like you don't get shanked a little bit.
But if you get the cut move without having to go get the HM and the SS Anne never leaves, and you come back with surf, you can surf around the ship.
Go up to little hidden part.
Go up to the northeast. There's a little secret land. Small bit of secret land. And on this secret land, it's just a truck.
This truck is...
Here's my notes. Let me read my notes before we move on. There is nothing else here, and the truck does nothing. Except in Gen 3, where there's a lava cookie hidden there.
Now, this is one of the things I alluded to earlier about the theories and conspiracies, because this truck was the source of a lot of lies.
Yeah.
Specifically, that Mew was in this truck. I don't know why they picked this truck, because
there's
mysterious.
It's so weird. You have to bypass so many things and jump through so many hoops just to get to see this stupid truck that doesn't do anything.
And also, it's the only truck in the game.
Yeah.
There's no other vehicles in the game besides boats.
Yep.
That I can...
And even then, in Gen 1, there are no boats.
There's one. There's the SS Anne, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, what is going on here? Like, there's a lot of stuff. Cinnabar is another place where we're going to have a lot to talk about in terms of this stuff. But, like, so kind of keep that on the DL for now. But, like, Mew, like, they found it, or they found traces of it, or they just find straight up Mew.
In the truck?
No, I mean in when they found it in the South America.
Oh, no, that was a sighting of Mew. Okay, like, they had actual Mew.
Okay. So they didn't catch it or anything.
Oh, they had it.
All right.
They had to.
Yeah, okay. So, like, they had it. And so the only thing I can think, the logical leap is that, like, the way, to make the lie make sense is, like, they got it and they drove it back to Kanto in the truck. And that's why the truck's
except
there.
Except that the truck is on this land that's in the middle of the ocean.
Look, it's not a great rumor.
And surrounded by barriers. So how did that truck even get out there? What is that truck even doing?
I don't know. But it doesn't look like a pickup. It looks like it's caged. So it's like something is in there, you know?
And I thought it looked like a pickup.
Maybe it does look like a pickup.
I think it's just a pickup truck.
Okay, well, then maybe there's a crate in the back. Yeah, like, yeah, before. Yeah,
I always heard Mew was under the truck, and you had to have a Machamp
to lift it.
Use strength to move it. But guess what, guys? You can use strength till the cows come home and push that truck from every different direction.
It will not move.
It does not move because it's basically just rocks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just a hard block tile that they put a different texture on.
The designers made a truck just for this. Like, it's not anywhere. Like, they took the time to pixel the truck out.
Yeah, this sprite is not used anywhere else.
It's bananas, but there is no Mew under it.
There's nothing here. It's placed there as just like a no one will ever find this,
right?
The ship leaves.
It's crazy.
There's not even any duct tape you can move here.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mess with anything.
It's just a truck.
It's just a truck.
So leave. Get out of there.
Get away from that truck.
And so we're going to leave the harbor now because there's nothing else for us to do here.
Okay.
Quite yet.
Not till next time.
Let's talk about some of the Pokemon we can find in Vermilion City / Vermilion Harbor. All right. So there's no grass. So that narrows it down.
Narrows it down.
We have to walk around and get. You can fish, obviously, in the open ocean waters of the coast. You can get such Pokemon as Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Tentacool, Shellder, Krabby, and Horsea. And if you fish in the harbor, you can get Staryu.
Okay.
That's the only thing that's different in the harbor.
Is it Staryu?
It's Staryu.
Wow.
Generation 2, you can now catch things by surfing. I don't know what this weird mechanic is in Gen 1. I don't know why there's no surf encounters.
Wait, like you can't, when you're surfing, you can't get?
On Bulbapedia, there is no wild Pokemon listed for surfing. There was a little bit in Route 6 in that pond.
Yeah.
But there's like nothing here. There was nothing in Cerulean Cape. There's nothing.
Is that
in any of the other water until then?
Is that on Bulbapedia? You need to check that at some point.
I need to look into see what's going on.
Some independent research.
But anyway, in Gen 2, you can get Tentacool and Tentacruel by surfing, and you can also now catch Chinchou, Tentacruel, and Lantern by fishing. And Snorlax wanders down to the border of the town in Route 11. You can catch him right there.
Okay, he rolls on down.
That's in Gen 2 and in Gen 4 with Snorlax. And Gen 3 also adds Gyarados, Psyduck, and Slowpoke to the fishing list in both the city and the harbor. And then in Gen 4 is all the same stuff from before. And you can Rock Smash now to get Diglett or Shuckle.
Okay.
You can Headbutt, but it's different.
It's not the Tree Musketeers. No. I looked.
It's Spearow, Heracross, and Combee.
Okay.
So get used to them. Those might be the southern tree. I don't know.
Is that okay? Because Heracross is a cool looking Pokemon.
He is.
I need to do a couple Googles on him, but I like Heracross.
And then in the ocean, there will occasionally be a swarm of Wingull. And that's about it for the city itself. So let's use our Bellsprout, chop down this little tree.
Head into this gym.
Head into the gym.
Go to the Pokemon Gymnasium, Josh.
To do gymnastics with our Pokemon.
Yep. We're going to go wrestle naked in there. See an older episode of the Morphin Grid for for why that makes sense. Go into the gym. Before you go into the gym, let's not go to the gym yet. Let's go right outside and let's look at the sign.
Okay.
What's the sign say?
The sign says, Vermilion City Pokemon Gym. Leader, Lieutenant Surge, the Lightning American.
Hold on.
I was going to save that until we got to Lieutenant Surge, but you jumped on me.
So let's pump the brakes right there.
Okay.
The Lightning American?
He's an American man.
He's
an American man.
I don't, what?
He's an American.
But there's no America.
There is an America. There's a South America where they found Mew. So why would there not be an America?
But where the heck is Kanto?
Kanto is set in a region in Japan. It's like modeled after a region in Japan.
But it's not. It never.
Pokemon does this weird thing early on, and I think it kind of just
where
like,
it is of the world and in it.
I think it retcons it in later games. Like it just stops doing it. Where it exists in the real world, but also not.
It existing in the real world mucks everything up later. Like,
yeah.
The farther in it goes. So, like, that's, like, the, you know, there's, like, the space shuttle stuff and the moon landing. And then, like, from the Peter City Gym, where it tells you, or not,
but there
the
are
museum.
Definitely, there are definitely different countries. So, but who's like, to say, like, that Unova is not an American region?
That's what it is based on.
So,
like,
it might still,
is a French region. Yeah. But, like, I feel like those are, like, in place of, because it's something we'll talk about in a couple minutes when we get to Lieutenant Surge. But, like, that's just so weird. That they tried to, like, fit it in, and later were like, it doesn't work.
Right.
In Gen 3, is it still that way? Is it still the Lightning American in Gen
3? Yeah, it's still the Lightning American. They still talk about South America, because it's just a remake.
What about Gen 4?
Lieutenant Surge, even in Gen 5, in Black and White 2, I think he's still...
That's his, like...
The Lightning American in the World Tournament.
What a cool
I don't know
nick-
if they announced them with those or not.
I don't know. What a cool nickname, first of all. But also, like, that's so weird... Especially in Gen 5, what?
Alright, so we are 10. We live in Kanto. We have no idea what an American is.
No, we don't know. We've never been to school.
Let's go figure it out. Let's go see what this is all about.
Let's go see what an American looks like. We will talk a little bit more about that when we get to the anime, too, by the way.
So we walk in. We're in a giant room, and it's full of trash cans.
Trash cans. It's an ECW arena. Trash cans as far as the eye can see.
There are 15 trash cans. They are arranged in 3 rows of 5, and there is a door in the back that leads to a smaller room.
Okay.
In which Lieutenant Surge is in.
And these trash cans.
I think Clyde tells you, it's like, hey, you're going to have to find the switches. Or maybe the junior trainers do after you defeat them.
I think
them.
The junior trainers do after.
And Clyde's just like, well, you should use ground type because he's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie. And then...
Champ in making. And you're like, thanks.
So there's 2 hidden switches. The door has 2 locks on it.
Okay.
If you find one, you just walk around looking in trash cans.
Is there a switch? Well, you find a switch in every one, but you don't know if you find the right one until you hit it.
Well, no, there's no switch. If you select the wrong trash can, it says, nothing but trash here. And then if you pick the other one, it's like, oh, it's a switch. and then you press it. And then one of the junior trainers is like, if you find a switch, the second switch will be in one of the trash cans adjacent to it.
Yeah.
But I think that also includes diagonally. So there's still like...
Oh, that sucks.
8 possibilities.
That sucks a lot.
This gym is a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of love it.
I hate it. I remember sinking so much time just trying to get to the gym leader.
Here's what I always did. Go through them all till you find the first one. And whatever side you're on, when you find the first switch, turn around and try that one. If it's wrong, start from the beginning and go again. You usually get in a few minutes. It's different every time. If you fail, the switches move somehow.
So if you look in a trash can, there's nothing but trash, but then you find the switch, and then you can't find the second switch, you can go back to that first trash can and look in it, and there might be a switch in there now, right?
Maybe. I've had that happen before, where I hit the switch, I turned to check for the second switch, and there was nothing there. And then I immediately checked that trash can again, and there was a switch in it.
Yeah. Did you not look good enough? If the dialogue box was like, no, the switch didn't do anything, I'd be okay right. with it. But it's like, nothing here.
Right, just like, all of these have switches, but only 2 of them have power at any
point. That's not a hard concept to get across.
Why hide them in trash cans?
I don't know. First
that's
of all,
a weird thing. Every trash can in every single main series Pokemon game that you have ever played has this text dialogue of, this is just trash, because of this gym.
Yeah.
And that's just something that they kept.
Like, Lieutenant Surge took the time to set up 15 trash cans with kill switches in them for his secret double door trap.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk about that.
Like, first of all, you walk in there and you see a bunch of trash cans. You're like, well, this is suspicious.
Is this a gym? Did that say gym?
Or did it say gym or sanitation office?
Is this trash? Is this the trash house?
Oh, we're in the garbage place. Garbage palace. I forgot.
Speaking of the junior trainers, there are 3.
Okay. Most to date.
We finally found the 2 switches.
Okay.
Open up.
Took 45 minutes.
Maybe 10.
I listened
which to... Which is 10 excruciating minutes when you're just checking trash.
I listened to 3 episodes of We Have Concerns. I caught up on the week's episodes of We Have Concerns. It's been an hour. Maybe you listened to Cerulean City episode of Pokemon World Tour. It was almost 2 hours looking for switches, but you finally found it.
So we get through this crazy barricade, and we finally meet...
The Lightning American himself,
Lieutenant Surge. And now we're going to talk about Lieutenant Surge. And guys, things are going to be weird. There's a lot of weird stuff surrounding Lieutenant Surge.
Yeah, this one man opens an entire world of possibilities. Also, real quick before we talk about him, how is there not a pro wrestler with a nickname, the Lightning American?
Because it is trademarked by Nintendo.
On the indies, that does not matter.
That's true.
Maybe there is, and we just don't know about him. Anyway, let's talk about the black hole that is Lieutenant Surge. Do you want to do his like Pokemon first and like that stuff, and then talk about...
All right, yeah, let's talk about the battle.
Yeah.
Let me scroll down.
Talk about the easy stuff, the light summer reading stuff first.
So in Gens 1 and 3, he will have a level 21 Voltorb, a level 18 Pikachu, and a level 24 Raichu.
I don't like that. Again, they're doing that. We got the evolution and the pre-evolution.
They do that a lot.
I don't like it.
In Pokemon Yellow, this is the first change to a gym leader to match the anime. He has 1 level 28
Yikes.
Raichu.
That's
so
big.
It's a pretty good like comparison to the anime in that this Raichu is super strong. It's going to kick your butt if you don't come ready. But if you have like a team of level 20-somethings, you should be able to take it down.
Especially if you manage to catch any sort of ground-type Pokemon. You should be okay.
Right. In Generation 2, he's got a level 44 Raichu, 2 level 40 Electrodes, a level 40 Magneton, and a level 46 Electabuzz.
Yikes.
In Generation 4, when you first fight him for the badge in his gym, he has those same Pokemon, except the levels are raised to 51, 47, 47, 47, and 53, respectively. You can go back and allocate those as you see fit.
Yeah, you can figure it out. You're smart. You're a smart group of people.
But then when you rematch him, he has a level 60 Raichu, a level 52 Manectric, a level 52 Magnezone, a level 52 Electrode, a level 58 Pachirisu, and a level 56 Electivire. So he's got all the final evolutions and a little electric squirrel.
Just a little like electric flying squirrel guy.
Not even the flying one. That's a Molga.
Right. You got any Molgas, Ked?
You got a Molga?
Yeah, that's... Maybe he's like, it's cute. It's my cute buddy leaving me alone.
I like it.
It's a personality one, not necessarily right. You know, it's his favorite.
You defeat him, and he awards you with the Thunder Badge.
Badge of Thunder and Rock and Roll.
This badge allows trainers to use the hidden move Fly outside of battle.
Okay.
Which we won't get until, like, a while later.
I literally don't even know how you get Fly in the original games.
Some girl in the house is like, hey, have Fly. And then you're like, oh, cool, thanks.
No, thanks.
And it allegedly increases the speed stat. I don't know how accurate that whole raises your stats thing actually is.
Is that for all your Pokemon?
Yeah. I think it's just a weird mechanic they tried in Gen 1
right. That
didn't stick, but like the dialogue is still there in Gen 3.
Right.
And in Generation 1, he rewards you also with TM24, which contains Thunderbolt, which is a killer move.
Yeah.
And if you're playing Yellow, you teach that to your Pikachu, like right now. If
he right away.
Know it. If you haven't grinded so high that he knows it already. And in 3 and 4, he gives you TM34, which is Shockwave, which is like an electric-type Swift.
Okay.
So it always
hits every time. Always hits, not super but it's powerful.
Like, yeah, kind of weak. And that's it for the battle. So let's talk about Lieutenant Surge the Man.
Okay. He's got a cool haircut.
He's Guile. You guys know Guile from Street Fighter.
Yeah, from Street Fighter. He's Guile.
He's like a not as ridiculous version of that.
Yeah, he's a J. Guile's band.
He's an American soldier who fought during, quote-unquote, the war... and was saved by electric-type Pokemon.
I want to interrupt already.
He's known to be a strict but very cautious commanding officer. Was also a pilot back home, okay? And used electric-type Pokemon to power his planes. He saved the life of one of his junior trainers who was also fighting in the war. He's installed the traps in his gym because he suffers from, like, mild paranoia. He's, like, kind of paranoid.
Right.
Probably because of the war.
Yeah.
You know, he possibly has post-traumatic stress disorder.
Probably. It kind of adds up.
He likes trainers with, quote, a lot of guts.
Do you have it? Gotta get a piece of that sweet rock.
The rest of the notes I have are how to get his phone number and stuff, which we can talk about after. But until...
You go up to him, you're like,
before
hey, boy,
we get to that.
Some pretty cool muscles you have
there. What do you want to say about Lieutenant Surge's
backstory here? So number one, he's an American soldier. So he came over from America to the mythical Pokemon world of Kanto. That's crazy. Also, this war is where I would say a good quarter of the fan theories, like, they hinge on.
Right.
Like, they all come back to the war. Now, there's a lot of speculation, specifically that, like, the reason... That Ash or Red doesn't have a dad or Gary is because
Gary doesn't have any parents. He has a sister and a grandfather.
The reason for this is because they were killed in the war. Like there's the going theory, the accepted theory is that there was a massive Pokemon war, which is frightening, but also makes a ton of sense when your entire economy is based on
battling animals.
Yeah, monster battle. Like, eventually someone will be like, what if we use this to blow up governments? Or what if we just have 1,000 Machamps storm someplace?
So I don't know, because he's mentioned as being an army officer, like soldier. Yeah. But with the planes and stuff, was he maybe actually in the Air Force?
No, there are army pilots, too.
Okay.
It's, like, not as common, but there are army pilots.
There's also, getting back to his possible PTSD... There's just a quote, I'm not sure who says it, but it's just, he set up double locks everywhere, which I think does not mean just in his gym, but like in his home, he's got double locks, just like...
Yikes. This poor guy,
like any loud noises or anything, probably just send him off.
And you go fight him with Pokemon. Why is he a gym leader? It's the only thing he knows.
With a Voltorb.
Right? With self-destruct? This is not a good plan.
Dude,
Mr. Surge.
That's why he's behind this crazy door. He doesn't want
to
fight.
He doesn't want to.
Because he's just going to have flashbacks
but
the whole time.
All he knows, he's a soldier. All he knows is fighting Pokemon. Also, his plane was powered by electric Pokemon?
His planes.
Planes, plural.
Plural.
So he just plucked it out, plugged it in, different plane. We went into a different one.
Well, in the in the Viridian City episode of the anime,
which I watched today.
Viridian, not Vermilion.
You're right. Now I'm doing it.
Team Rocket, it's their first episode, the introduction of them, and they blow up a Pokemon Center, basically. And they, before they get in there, they knock the power out.
By clunking a Pikachu the, upside the head,
backup
right?
generator in this Pokemon Center is a bunch of Pikachus with, like, weird contraptions attached to their heads running around generating electricity on a wheel. Nurse Joy at one point says, "We have Pika power," and then... They were around the wheel, and the lights come back on, because there's Pokemon in there that are dying.
Yeah. I do like that. I do like the idea. That's the one thing that...
But then Team Rocket blows up Pokemon Center, and they transfer all the Pokemon to Pewter City via a bank drive-up chute.
Yeah, pneumatic tube, I believe.
Except I think it just teleports them, because it's in the future, but also in the past,
yeah.
And it's on Earth. But it's also not on Earth.
Oh, God. It's so weird. Yeah, that's about all I have.
In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, he shows up outside of the power plant between 9 and 11 only after the player successfully captures Zapdos.
Okay.
So you can't just battle and defeat it. You have to catch it.
You have to have it. You got to own it.
And if you speak to him while you're being followed by a Pikachu, he'll give you his phone number. And you can call him on Friday mornings to arrange a rematch. And then after you receive his phone number, you can find him at the Magnet train station in Saffron.
Okay.
Where he will offer to trade you his French Pikachu named Volty.
Okay.
For the Pikachu. He says for the
give
Pikachu.
I give him a great ball.
He says he'll trade it for the Pikachu that he saw with you at the power plant. But in reality... Any old Pikachu will do. It does not have to be the same one.
Okay.
But that is the second case of a gym leader trading you one of their Pokemon.
That's in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you said.
Correct.
That trade? Okay.
Yep.
What if you don't have a Pikachu at the power plant?
Then I think he's just like, hey, man, how about all this electricity, right? I'm hiding from everything right now because I'm just so scared all the time.
Think I'm going to go to Newbark, start over. Oh, poor guy.
So that's it. That's all I have for the city. That's all I have for Lieutenant Surge. So, Jake, what happened in this episode of the anime?
Okay, so we're in Vermilion City. We're at the gates. All right. Before I get to my bullet points, quick note. I'm not watching any other episodes. I'm only watching the episodes that pertain to the episode that we are doing.
Right, so all the in-between stuff yeah. is just lost to you.
So I skipped 6 episodes. He caught... Okay, the last...
Is Snorlax before or after this episode?
I don't remember. I think it's after. He caught... There was the Bulbasaur, Pikachu, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Charmander episodes are all 3 in a row, and they're the 3 previous to this episode. There's 3 others. It's been, according to the liar... Of a voiceover guy. It's been 2 weeks, and they've been lost the whole time.
It's been 2 weeks since...
Since the last episode, or since
Cerulean? Okay.
Yeah. They've just been lost. So we start off at the gates. They're charred for some reason. They all have soot and burn marks on them.
The last episode was Charmander,
must
right?
have been the Charmander okay. episode. They have been lost for 2 weeks, and they are, like, just excited to be in a real place. So Misty's like, I am going to take a bath. Brock's like, I'm going to do some laundry. Ash is like, I'm going to go fight the gym leader. And he's like...
Brock is going to do things.
He's got things to do. Don't look into it. But Brock's like, hey, buddy, hold up there, champ. Your Pikachu is... Looks like he's dying, but in the anime, in the American version, they say he looks hungry. But he's clearly injured. And so Ash picks him up. He's like, are you hungry, buddy? And Pikachu's like, And I guess it's supposed to be like, yes, he is hungry. But it really just comes off as he's burnt and injured and needs some help. So they go to the Pokemon Center. And they're just staring at Nurse Joy for like a minute. And they're like, And she's like, oh, yeah, my first cousin works at Pewter City. And my second cousin worked at Viridian. And they're like... Okay.
Oh, they love this joke between the Joys and the Jennies.
Yeah, I like it too, but But it's just creepy at this point because they are clearly freaked out. It's just a little disturbing. He's like, I think Pikachu's just hungry. He's got his like 6 Pokemon in that cupcake tray.
Right.
And Pikachu's sitting next to it, holding himself. And she's like, okay, yeah, we'll get him fixed up. Before they can do anything else, though, guy busts in. There's a Rattata on a gurney. And they're like, emergency, emergency. This Rattata needs help right now. So they're like, what happened? And they're like, oh, he gets butt whooped by Lieutenant Surge. And Ash is like, all right, I'm going to go take this guy out. Looks like he's just putting... There's like a lot of Pokemon in this emergency room that are all electrically injured. There's like a Sandshrew. There's a Pidgey coming in a minute. Ash says like, I'm going to go get him. I'm going to get the Thunder Badge. And Misty's like, yeah, maybe you'll earn this one. So even
good
Misty,
on Misty.
Even Misty is like, you're bad, man. You get pity badges. And then Nurse Joy says something about how they that only people who fight like each other. If two people fight, then that means they really care for each other. And they're like, nuh-uh, shut up. So then we cut to Pikachu being all healed up, and Ash is like, all right, buddy, let's go fight Lieutenant Surge. And Pikachu's like, no, did you see all the Pokemon that are real hurt in here? Maybe let's not go fight Lieutenant Surge. And he does like some charades again, and Ash, I guess, is learning them because he's like, no, I care about you. Like, we just need to go fight him because you're... You know, that's what we do as Pokemon and Pokemon trainer. Pikachu's super worried. So then we cut to the Vermilion City Gym. There's like crossed the lightning bolt outside of it. They go inside and Lieutenant Surge is in there. Well, they don't see Lieutenant Surge right away. There's two junior trainers. One of them is a girl. One's a guy. Both of them are in army fatigues. So they are either there's a dress code here or they were in the army. But then they're like, hey, boss, you got some challengers here. And so Lieutenant Surge stands up and walks over to Misty, and he's like, oh, hey, pretty little girl. And she's like, no, I'm not fighting. I'm not here for that.
Also, gross. I'm like 10.
Also gross, buddy. Okay. And he's like, oh, who is? Ash is like, I am. He's like, okay, baby. He calls Ash baby a lot. And now I know what you're thinking. Oh, maybe.
In like a that a baby kind of way?
No. I think.
Or in like a wrestler calling everyone baby kind
I
of
think,
way.
I think you guys are thinking, oh, he's calling him a baby. Oh, you're a baby. Like, you're a little child who doesn't have motor skills and can't change his own diaper or anything. No, he calls him baby, no article, every time, as if he's sort of flirting with Ash. And it's creepy and made even creepier by the fact that this dude is literally twice Ash's height. Ash's head comes up to about the crotchal area.
Lieutenant Surge is a giant man in the anime.
He's AZ. He's the original AZ. The OG AZ. So then he's like, yeah, I got a Raichu. You got a little baby Pikachu there. Ash scans Raichu with Dexter. And there's only one thing of note. They're like, oh, he makes so much voltage. It says, and I quote, one of Raichu's blasts can render a Dragonite unconscious. Buddy, no. Also, I think the episode right before this was the Dragonite episode. No, maybe that was after. Because the Dragonite episode was one of the
Dragonite episode is
one of the six
gonna,
that I jumped.
It's going to be closer to the Cerulean City episode than this one.
Then there's some talk of evolution. Because like, oh, these Pokemon are useless until you evolve them. You get all their sweet moves. Which, no, if you evolve them too early, you miss out on a lot of
moves.
You
miss out on all the sweet moves.
Keep that in your pocket for a little bit later. So then we go to the fight. It's a one-on-one fight, so it does not observe the rules. The rules being 2-on-2.
The rules vary from gym to gym, I think.
I thought it was... It seemed like the other ones were... This is the standard. The standard is 2-on-2 fight.
Well, they get weird from here, then.
Yeah, so he's like, one-on-one. The announcer says every time, because he'll fight him again, he doesn't win, spoiler, that there is no time limit, so that's pretty neat, I guess. That some of them are timed? I don't know. Anyway,
theoretically, anyway.
Raichu womps Pikachu. Pikachu refuses to quit, though. Like, he stands up and he's giving this, like, Pikachu speech. so it's all just like, Pika, Pikachu, Pikachu, Pika, Pika. And, like, it's, like, very rousing if you speak Pikachu, I guess.
Probably.
So Pikachu, like, refuses to quit and gets thunderbolted to near death for his troubles. So then, like, Pikachu wakes up, or we just cut to the them in the Pokemon Center. Pikachu's, like, in a bed, and he's got his own room, and he just, like, looks so mad at himself. And it's, like, it's a little sad. There's something coming up in a second that a lot of people have said is, like, oh, it's a super emotional moment, right?
Right.
And that is that Ash is trying to figure out ways to get Pikachu to be stronger, right? So Nurse Joy comes in, and she's like, oh, there's one way. I happen to come across this Thunderstone, and you can evolve him with it. And so Ash is like, all right, Pikachu, this is your decision. If you want to do this, we'll do this. And they're like, Ash, you got to know that, like, there's no going back. This isn't Digimon. This is a one and done. He kind of has it near Pikachu, and he's like, if you want to use this, we will. So then Pikachu knocks it out of Ash's hand and is like, no. And this is when he gives his like, rousing speech. Earlier, it wasn't a speech. It was more like a, I'm not going to quit type thing. This is a rousing Pikachu speech. Jesse, James, and Meowth are outside staring this window now. And Meowth starts crying at how brave Pikachu is. Then James starts crying because of what Meowth tells him. It's a very cute moment. Now, the thing where Pikachu, like, refuses the Thunderstone, everyone's like, oh, it's a really emotional moment, right? I didn't think it was. It wasn't super emotional. And guys, I want to preface this by saying, I'm a real soft touch. I get emotional pretty easily, especially as it applies to fictional characters. I saw a Gem in the Holograms movie the other day. I was, at one point, I was legitimately like, hey, don't cry in this theater, Jacob. Don't do it, because you're alone in the theater. So, like, if you're going to do it, this is the opportune time. But, like, it's just a sad thing.
Don't cry alone in the theater.
Don't cry alone in the theater. Because of, like, sisterhood and teamwork. Like, which, guys, Gem in the Holograms, real good movie. Back to the anime. They're like, all right, Pikachu, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right. We're not going to evolve you. We're just going to train harder. Then Pikachu goes back to bed because he's still tired and needs to rest more. So then we cut outside. They're on their way to the gym. And before they go, Brock says he evolved his Pikachu early. I think I might have a plan. So then we cut to them going up to the gym. Before they can get to the gym the second time, very poorly disguised Team Rocket. They're in black trench coats and that's it. Like, they're not trying to hide anything. Their hair and their faces still look the same. And even, like, they even start doing the protect the world from devastation, like, prepare for trouble type thing. And Meowth, like, whaps him on the head with a fan. And he's like, it's not why we're here this time. And they're like, hey, we're the Challenger cheerleaders, and we want to give you a little cheer to wish you luck in your battle, because they want Pikachu to win so bad. So this is really terrible, awful, awful cheer. It's really dumb and bad. And, like, just, you have to see it to understand it, but it's bad. And then they're like, all right, that's it, bye. And they start running away. And then Missy's like, bye, Team Rocket. It's like, how do they know? We go inside. Round two of the fight. Same rule. One-on-one. No time limit. Pikachu has a plan. They've got a strategy. He goes in. Immediately starts getting tail whipped to death. Like, just, like, smacked down and then, like, whipped more. He gets body slammed. Raichu just, like, stretches and falls over onto Pikachu. And then he's like, yeah, Raichu, do it again. And so he goes to, like, do the second body slam. And Pikachu, like, jumps out of the way. So Raichu slams the ground. And I thought the rest of this was going to be, like, him trying to body slam him just hurting himself.
Right.
But instead what it is Pikachu learns agility moves and speed moves that you only learn as a Pikachu. So if you evolve it too early, you don't learn any of those moves. So he's, like, using agility. He's using, like, quick attack sort of stuff. And it's a really cool fight because, like, by switching up the strategy, like, Pikachu can win now, even though he's not stronger. He didn't train or anything.
Right.
But he's just, like...
Yeah, you don't get experience from getting whomped.
Yeah. So then Raichu is, like, mad, and so is Lieutenant Surge. So he's, like, blast this place. I want you to murder this place with lightning. Blows the windows out, knocks... I think it knocks the power out, but, like, it looks like it for a second. There's dust everywhere, and then the smoke clears, the dust clears, and there's Pikachu, like, spread eagle with his arms out, and his tail is sticking in the ground. He's like, oh, I grounded myself. What are you going to do? So he used his tail to ground himself and therefore was immune to electricity. So I like that he's fighting smarter. I just don't think that would work. But I do like that in the anime, it's like, whatever, it's fine.
Isn't it Brock who's like, oh my god, he grounded himself. Oh!
He's the hype man. He's me at an Inspire Pro show yelling at Matt Palmer and Andy Dalton, putting aside all of their rough history to team up for revenge. It's so good. So then we cut outside. Jesse and James are there watching. They make a couple bad puns. I don't remember it. Meowth whaps him on the head and says, "Now you've been punished." Because he did not like their puns, much like me.
So he made his own bad pun.
So he made a pun after hitting them in the head and gave them, like, eggs on their head.
Yeah.
So then Pikachu finally wins. I think it, I don't remember how, it beats it somehow. Ash finally earns a badge. And immediately Lieutenant Surge is like, "Yeah, you're not a baby. Everything's cool. We're buds now." And, like, he's fine. Total personality 180 switch.
Because he showed guts. Lieutenant Surge loves those trainers with guts.
He did. And he got a piece of that awesome rock.
Pikachu refused to use it.
Right. Then we cut outside to Team Rocket leaving. They're going to go get a head start on their next plan. Like, before the episode stops, a thing pops up. And it's James's face going, "Oh, we spent the whole episode rooting for the good guy." So they know they're cartoons?
Yes.
Because then the other ones pop up and they went, "Duh." And even the announcer's like, "Yes, you did, James."
Yeah, there's a lot of weird fourth wall stuff sometimes.
It's just that very pops weird. Up. So that's it. That's all I have for all
right.
The anime.
Let's run to
any
Route
questions,
11.
Any comments?
No, covered it pretty well.
All right, cool.
Let's run to Route 11 real quick and then we'll raise some names.
All right, sweet.
All right, Route 11 is a giant field full of tall grass. And there's like a maze of like a dirt path that goes through the tall grass. So you can get through it without having to encounter Pokemon.
But it's got
to
be trainers, right?
There are trainers. There are between 8 and 10 trainers here. So it's a pretty good like training ground before the gym.
That is a pretty good training ground.
And at the end of the route, at the beginning of the route is Diglett's Cave, which we're going to talk about next episode.
Yep, going to walk right by it.
At the end of the route is like a gatehouse. And inside that gatehouse, one of Professor Oak's aides will give you an item finder if you have collected data, and I think that means captured, not just seen.
Not just, okay.
On 30 or more Pokemon species. Yikes. And in Generation 3, there is a trainer that will trade a Nidorina or a Nidorino for the opposite one, depending on which version you're playing.
Okay.
In Yellow version, there is a trainer in there that will trade you a Dugtrio for a Chansey. Which I do not recommend.
No, that's a bad trade. Because
there's a whole cave full of Diglets.
Yeah.
Like a minute away from here.
What kind of Pokemans can we catch here?
Anything
else of import?
No, that's it.
No, okay.
We can catch in the grass Pidgey, Pidgeotto, Rattata, Raticate, Spearow, Ekans, Sandshrew, and Drowsy. This is Gen 1. And there's a tiny little strip of water that you can fish in to catch Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Tentacool, Shellder, Krabby, and Horsey.
Okay.
In Gen 2, that water is gone.
Can you surf in that water?
Nope.
No?
Nope. I mean, you can, but I guess you can't encounter anything.
That's so weird. We gotta do some research.
In Gen 2, Magnemite, Hypno, Hoppip, Meowth, and Noctowl are added to the grass.
Okay.
In the remakes, you can surf and get Tentacool, and they add Gyarados, Psyduck, and Slowpoke to the fishing list. And in Gen 4, you can Headbutt and get Spearow, Heracross, and Combi. Oh, I have Snorlax written down here for Gen 4. So in Gen 2, I guess it's over the border in Vermilion. And in Gen 4, it's just into Route 11.
Okay.
If you play the Hoenn sound on your Pokégear, you can get Plusle and Minun. And if you play the Sinnoh sound, you can get Shinx. And that is all that there is on Route 11. If you go through the gatehouse and come out on the other side in Generation 1 or 3, onto Route 12... You can't get very far because that's where Snorlax is blocking the path there.
Okay.
So you got to go up around the long way and get the Pokéflute to wake him up.
So you go back, turn around, go into Diglett's Cave, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see you there next time. But for right now, let's rate some Pokemon names.
Oh, yeah. All right, Josh, it was your turn.
It was.
To write some names down. I assume you did.
I did. I got 5.
Cool.
Not from our Reddit post. I just Googled Reddit for nicknames and then grabbed some.
Yeah. By the way, guys, I don't know if we've talked about this. Josh and I use the term Google instead of search.
Yep.
So you can Google anything. You can Google your room for a shirt that you want. You can Google YouTube for a video. You can. Just so there's no confusion. Anyway, what? Okay. All right. No, I forget this every time. There are rules. If you want to send in your Pokemon to be named, there are a couple rules. Number one, we need the species and the name, and that's it.
That's all we require. That's all we require.
Any further information is up to you. Any more context, that's up to you. Once we have those nicknames, we will rate them on a scale of 1 to 5. Pokeball, Premier Ball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball, Master Ball, respectively. We each get one Master Ball per episode.
Right. So the person who picks the names that episode is kind of at an advantage with their Master Ball.
Yeah, you know
going
in.
They know going in where it's going, if it's going at all. Okay.
So these are people that we don't have to be nice to these people. We don't know them at all.
We know Sky.
One of Sky. Okay.
But yeah, these other guys, whatever.
Yeah. We're going to tear them apart if they got bad names.
Let's do Sky's first.
Okay.
And I hope you can explain it to me cuz I googled it and I couldn't figure it out.
Okay.
It's for Infernape.
Okay. I think I saw this.
Okay. Its name is, I hope I'm saying this right. It looks pretty straightforward. Heno Dewey. Two words. Heno Dewey.
Okay. You're close.
Okay.
You finish and then I'll explain it.
And the context is that he looks like Rafiki.
Okay. So the name
I googled Heno Dewey. Am I saying that right?
No.
How am I supposed to say it?
Heno Dewey.
Heno Dewey. Okay.
He knows the way.
Oh, okay.
Rafiki was the guide.
That's why I couldn't
figure
it out. Okay.
It's a pun, Josh. You should have... your pun vision should have focused in on
I read it as
that.
Heno instead of Hino.
This is why you say all the Pokemon weird,
all right.
Too.
Well, in that case, I give this one an Ultra Ball.
Yes, I'm also going to give it an Ultra Ball. I did see that a little while ago. It took me... Okay, I'm not going to say...
Because I googled Rafiki. I'm like, is that a thing that he says? Is that like a Hakuna Matata, like weird thing that...
Nope. It says he knows
but
the
it's
way.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, okay. It took me like two or three times of seeing it to be like... Oh, I see what I'm doing wrong here. Also reminded me that I haven't seen The Lion King in quite some time and should probably rectify that soon.
This next one, you might have to look up the Pokemon. I'm not sure if you are familiar with Reuniclus.
Oh, I have never heard that word before.
Let me spell it for you.
All right, hold on. Let me pull up the internet. Okay, it's like a globby boy.
Yeah. This nickname comes from Reddit user Colonel Toast.
Okay.
Colonel_Toast.
Colonel Toast.
The nickname is Jello Fellow.
I do like that. This Pokemon grosses me out because his ears and his arms are separate from his body, and I don't like it.
But he's in a membrane. Like, he's real weird.
He's a little weird. What generation is he? Unova?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
He's a little creepy. I like the name Jello Fellow.
I like the name Jello Fellow.
Points on the rhyme. I'm going to give it, is it Jell, like is Fellow spelt the same way as Jello?
No.
It's spelt Fellow.
Fellow with a W, Jello without.
I'm going to give it a Great Ball.
All right. I'm going to give it an Ultra Ball, toss it around, whatever. Next, from Reddit user Gigawatt42, is a Furret. This might be my favorite one.
Oh, God.
Named Mr. Squishy.
I like it.
I love it.
I'm
tearing up because I just laughed so hard
Mr.
at Mr.
Spoopy
Squishy.
Loves
Mr. Squishy. Spooshy. Spooshy. Has both of us.
I don't like that.
That's our trainer Pokemon couple's name.
Okay.
Mr.
I'm gonna give it an Ultra Ball. I like Mr. Squishy. I don't like look at a Furret and think it's squishy. But now that I'm...
Oh, I do.
I don't know. Maybe.
Kidding me? That thing is so squishy.
Okay. Well, I'm giving it an Ultra Ball. What are you doing?
I'm throwing my Master Ball.
That's your Master Ball? Okay.
The next two are also pretty good, though. I think I picked some good ones this time.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Did you delete it?
Nope.
Okay.
This next one is from Anonymous, because I forgot to write the person.
Okay. We're going to call this person Charles.
It's for Garchomp.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to quickly look up a picture of Garchomp.
Look up a picture of Garchomp, and you're going to have to maybe look up another picture, because the nickname is Otachi.
Okay, I'm looking at Garchomp.
You got a Garchomp right in front of you?
Yep.
Okay. The nickname is Otachi, which is a Pacific Rim kaiju.
Okay.
I looked up Otachi. I'll let you do the same.
Okay.
Now.
Okay, I can see it.
Garchomp is a hammerhead street shark.
Yep. He's Jawsome.
Yep. Oh, man. I want to raise a Garchomp now. Otachi has not like a hammerhead, but he does have some like growth, like horn kind of growths coming off of the sides of his head.
A lot of spikes on him.
The big thing for me is that he has the same like scythe wing shaped arms.
And his tail, the Mega Evolution tail, is similar to Otachi's tail.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like swords and stuff on him.
So I really like this one. I'm a sucker for Pacific Rim.
Yeah, it's really good.
So I will also give this one an Ultra Ball.
I think I'm also going to give it an Ultra Ball, and I haven't used my Master Ball, and you know, we don't have to use it.
You don't have to. You can.
But like, I have
you
it.
You can save it. I mean, you can't use the second one next time. No. But you can just like.
You can just choose not to. So let's see this last one. Yeah, Ultra Ball for this, for Itachi. Right. I was thinking Onibaba when I heard the name Itachi, and I was like, that's not a Garchomp at all, but it wasn't, so nope. all is well.
And the next one, I might be saying the username wrong, but it's a username, so who cares, is from Kenny373. It's K-E-N-N-E 373.
Okay.
It's for Lucario.
I'm familiar with Lucario.
The nickname is Cool Hand.
Cool Hand Lucario. Cool Master Hand. Ball.
There it is.
Master right. Ball.
I'm going to give this one also an Ultra Ball. I'm going high. Going five high this episode.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. A good reference.
Yeah. That's it for names. We picked out a Pokemon this time to spotlight.
We did.
We did.
Well, Josh.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Snorlax! So last episode we did Psyduck, and I don't think I said what Pokedex number he is.
You did not. I had to look it up.
Okay. Do you remember what it is?
54.
54. Okay, good. That's good to know. Snorlax is number 143.
Okay.
He is categorized as the sleeping Pokemon.
Okay.
He's a normal type. His average height is 6 foot 11 inches.
He's a big boy.
The average weight...
500 pounds.
1,014.4 pounds.
That's very specific. Once you get up to 1,000, I don't think
Oh, I'm sorry. That was inaccurate. 1,014.1 pounds.
Okay.
So he's a little lighter than I thought.
A little bit. Still... I think once you pass 1,000, you don't need to go into the points. I think the decimal place is kind of irrelevant at that weight. So you got any cool information about Snorlax?
Well, he evolves from a Munchlax with high friendship. And to breed a Munchlax from a Snorlax, it has to hold...
Leftovers.
No, one of the incense.
The Nirvana incense. It smells like Teen Spirit.
The full incense. That's okay. What it's called. You hold a full incense on your Snorlax and then breed it, and you'll get a Munchlax every time.
Okay.
We'll talk about its abilities after its Pokedex entries because they tie in really well.
Okay.
So for the Pokedex, Snorlax is able to eat anything, including moldy, gross food, without getting an upset stomach thanks to the digestive juices in its stomach being able to dissolve any poison.
Okay.
Okay. It stops eating only to sleep. And stops sleeping only to eat, and is therefore constantly growing in girth.
All right.
It is said that it is not satisfied until it has eaten, and this is another example of a 10-year-old wrote this encyclopedia entry.
Yes, absolutely.
It is not satisfied until it has eaten 880 pounds of food a day.
That's ridiculous. 10-year-old, you need
After which it goes nap. But it is so docile in nature that children often play on its belly while it is sleeping or after it eats.
Okay.
And that's all the information from the Pokedex. So its abilities, it can get immunity, which means it cannot be poisoned.
Okay.
Which ties in with the eating gross yucky food.
Okay, I like that.
It gets the thick fat ability, which reduces the damage from fire and ice attacks.
Okay.
And it gets the gluttony ability as its hidden ability, which will allow it to eat berries automatically at half health instead of at quarter health. The location for Snorlax is that it's usually found sleeping in mountainous regions, but nobody really knows where it comes from. Yeah, like, that's just where it crashes.
Yeah, like, in Gen 1, there's only two.
Yeah.
They just come fall asleep in your way, and then that's it.
I'm gonna hit you with some trivias.
Okay.
Got a couple trivias.
I also have a trivia tab open.
Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum are the only games with Snorlax in the regional Pokedex in which he is not an obstruction in a path. You get him from evolving Munchlax in those games. You don't actually ever encounter him on the map. Gen 5, which is that same generation, Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, is the only generation...
No, Gen 5 is black.
Is it?
Yep.
Why does it say this is the only... Oh, because he's in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. That's why. Because that's Gen 4.
Right.
So Generation 5 is the only generation of games that does not have a Snorlax sleeping in the overworld.
Okay.
And Snorlax, I had to do some digging for this one, is the 12th heaviest Pokemon and the heaviest normal type Pokemon. He is outweighed in order by Hoopa Unbound, Avalug or Avalug, whichever you prefer. Metagross, perfect form Zygarde, which I have no idea how they know how much that weighs.
It hasn't come out yet.
No. Maybe it's in Korokoro. They just ran the stats down or something. I don't
right,
know.
I don't know.
Origin Giratina, Dialga, Mega Steelix, altered form Giratina, Mega Metagross.
I've always heard that with a hard G.
I usually say it with a hard G, but now I'm freaking out. and then Groudon and Primal Groudon are the heaviest. Okay, Primal Groudon is a little heavier than regular Groudon.
Pizza style. All those pepperonis on top
yes,
of it made
Groudon
him a little
pizza form is the heaviest Pokemon that there is.
Okay. I have. Is that all for trivia? Because I have.
That's all I have written
down. I have
two.
So until Munchlax was introduced in Gen 4, Snorlax had the highest base stat of any. Base stat total of any non-evolving Pokemon, but then Munchlax was introduced, and so now
it's an evolve.
But it is still the most powerful non-legendary Pokemon that you can legitimately hatch from an egg in terms of base stat total. So like, it
really,
is, yeah. So it, of all the hatchable Pokemon, he's the buffest. Also, we didn't talk about it. I did look it up earlier. His stats are real interesting to me because his attack. And special defense are very good, and they're tied. And
right.
Special attack and regular defense are tied, and they're about half what the other stats are. His HP is off the charts.
Right.
It's like 160 or something like that. He's super, super healthy. And then his speed's real slow.
Yeah.
He's a slow...
Because he's just, like, laying down.
He's a sleepy boy. Like, he's not going anywhere.
And his sprites, if you, like, lay them out in order from, like, first to... I guess the first 3D model now. He's slowly standing up if you look at them in order.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He starts out just flat on his back and then he's like rocking to the side.
Took him like 20 years to get out of bed, but he did
it. One of them, he's on his back, but all like his arms and his feet are just straight up in the air.
That's good. Yeah, that's all I had on Snorlax. How do you feel about Snorlax?
I like Snorlax. I've never used one because he's tankier than I like to play as. I like to hit fast and hard.
Yeah,
and
I've been toying with the idea of like a tankier Pokemon, but like I am the same way. I like to take you out before you have a chance to do anything. What would you name a Snorlax? Right now I'd name him Shut Up Train.
Shut Up Train the Snorlax.
G-First Christmas Shut Up Train.
I don't know. I don't want to be super generic and name him like Buddha, but he does got that belly.
He's got a big belly and he's smiling. And
he's so happy. He's so chill.
He is.
I would name him Buddha. Whatever.
I would
Pokeball me if you want. I don't care.
I'm not gonna rate this. This is hypothetical. We don't even have one in it. I would name mine either Big Van Vader.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Or if I, because my next, like when I start Soul Silver over, I'm gonna go with a dessert candy kind of theme. So I'd probably name him something like Cream Puff or like Donut.
Go cake.
Go donut. All this is in service to name. My Totodile Soda Pop. That's literally it.
But you could just do that. You don't need to have a theme.
I like having themes, so. Yeah.
I understand.
So yeah, I think I would go with Donut. I like it. It's kind of a regular, but I like it. Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. I like that he's like just this big mass of a Pokemon. And you only have two chances.
Yeah.
To get him in the first games. And even in like Gen 4, like in the...
You only get one.
Yeah, there's only one in Heart Gold Soul Silver, like... I hope you get him.
Yeah.
He's just as rare as... He's slightly less rare than the legendary birds.
Right.
Pretty cool guy, that Snorlax.
All right, so that's a wrap on Snorlax. Go ahead and let us know what you think of Snorlax. Any information you think we missed, send it to us in email. And maybe we'll go over it next time.
Yeah.
But now we're going to jump into some fan interactions.
All right, Josh, what do we got? What's on the Rocket Docket?
We have an email.
Okay.
From Hoops.
Hoops.
From our boy Hoops.
Yeah, your boy and mine. Hoops.
And before I jump into this, I just want to say, we have now, at the time of recording this, 6 reviews on iTunes. I said we would read them when we got 5. We're probably not going to have time to do that today, so we will read the reviews next time.
Okay. We'll do that in the beginning next time, at the start of the next episode.
Or, let me pose a question. Do you guys... like having the fan interaction at the end of each episode, or do you want us to do like fan mail and review stuff?
Start it off like
do them as a separate episode if like they're big.
Yeah, tell us how you feel. Like,
so,
any
if you don't mind,
you
don't mind
about...
if you don't mind the length, if you don't mind listening to how long these are, we don't right. mind recording them. But if you would like them to be shorter, this is a thing we can do, is we can do the fan interaction as a separate little bonus episode.
Yeah, and same thing goes for like any other feedback you have. Just send it to us, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end. But we want to hear like what you want to hear. Does that make sense? Does that sense make sense?
We want to hear what you want to hear.
Yeah, we want to know what you want to hear out of us. Like how, you know, and just, I mean, like, to be fair, we have final say. Like, just to let you guys know, like, it's not necessarily going to change, but, like, if enough people or if someone presents an option that, like, would make more sense to us or that we like, then we will change it. We're not so fixed that we can't change the podcast. We're only six episodes in.
Yeah, we're still figuring this out.
Yeah, anyway, so hit me up with Hoops. And this is editorialized a little bit, right? We're skipping a couple things.
Yeah, he says at the beginning, feel free to cut anything out. And we're going to – he gives us a whole paragraph of nickname stuff that we're going to save for another time. And a bunch of questions, which we're going to cut one of those out as well.
Yeah, because it's a question that we can't talk about a little bit.
Yeah, it's so, very in-depth. That might just have to be a bonus episode.
And I am still thinking. So –
yeah, I'm not prepared to discuss that.
So anyway.
All right. He starts off the email with, "Hey, Jake and Josh.
Hey, Hoops.
What up?
How's it going, buddy?
Sorry, this might be a long one, but I love Pokemon. Feel free to cut anything out."
Done.
"First off, a few hopes for Pokemon Go. You guys mentioned the idea that you may only get a few ground types because you're in Texas. I'm in Oklahoma, so I feel your lack of terrain type, but I really hope that's how it is and that there is no online trading, just local. I don't particularly like the idea of just finding a bunch of Caterpies and Rattatas, but I feel it would really work with this type of game. I visited some friends in Minnesota last spring, and it would be great to come back from vacation with a bunch of ice types to trade to my friends around here. In the main games, none of the Pokemon actually seem very rare to me because everyone can easily get them. Mewtwo isn't rare. Literally everyone has one."
That's true.
That is. We talked about that.
Yeah.
"How awesome would it be to catch a Poliwag at the lake and raise it to be badass because it's the only water Pokemon you could find? You'd love it all the more. Areas would become like cities in the games. Everyone around here is a bug catcher, sailor, etc. You'd see a stranger with one of those watches and pounce on them to fight and trade." God, I want Pokemon Go to be good.
So before, we're going to go kind of question by question, you know.
Paragraph by paragraph.
For this one, I wasn't sold on the idea of, oh, we have four Pokemon in this state, right. You know, until after I read this, and I would be cool with it. I'd be more cool with it if there are not just Gen 1, if there's a little more variety of Pokemon. But
we talked about this when we announced, or when we broke the news, quote-unquote.
Well, we didn't break
it. We didn't break it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In that I think the other generations are going to be... It's a free-to-play game. I think the other generations are going to be paid expansions, probably.
Which is fine.
I'm fine with that.
But I do share the hope that there's no online trading. I hope you have to look at a person and talk to them. And, like, you have to agree on what you're trading and you have to barter. Like, I really hope that's how it goes. And also, we're both from New England. I go up to New Hampshire every winter to, like, see my little brother and my parents and everything and, like, to refresh my cold immunity. And my slight New England accent. But it would be real cool to, like, come back and be like, "Oh, guess what, guys? I got an Abomasnow. Deal with it. I'm a crusher.
I had to climb Monadnock to get this thing in a snowstorm.
But I did it, and I'm going to beat up all your Sandshrews. Because I got a Sandshrews." Yeah, and I totally agree that, like, if all you caught was a Poliwag, like, that's your guy now. Like,
right, because if you're in Texas and we're catching a bunch of, like, Rattatas around here.
I feel like there's going to be a couple Pokemon. Like, oh, if you're in a city, you got Pidgeys for days.
Right.
You're not going to want
But
Pidgeys.
We go down to Lady Bird Lake, and there's just, like, Poliwags, and there's, like, a Squirtle out in the middle. So we rent some kayaks.
Right.
Go out to the middle, get the stupid little Squirtle. Oh, that would be great.
Right. That would be real right. cool.
I don't want to spend this whole thing gushing about Pokemon Go, so we're going to move on.
I also really want Pokemon Go to be cool.
He has a very cool nicknaming convention.
I do like his nickname convention. One of them, the last one, is a little dicey, I think. I don't know if I would say that one on the air, but I do like the convention. We'll talk about it at a different time.
We'll go over this next episode.
Yeah.
So some small questions for the Q&A section you guys do. I think we're supposed to send them in. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Send in your questions. This new section is fan interactions because it's just like whatever's going on
right.
in our sphere. But like it's Q&As are the easiest thing to get some mileage
for
out
sure.
of. So definitely send in any questions. Anybody will tell you how to do that again at the end.
Do you guys have a solution to the HM problem if you consider them a problem? I always thought if I had a Pokemon that could use Cut, it should just use Cut without taking up a move slot. Cut is garbage. I do kind of have a solution. Pokemon already did it. In Generation 5, you can go through the entire game without having to use a TM. The TMs are only used to access, like, secret areas.
You mean HM?
HM, that's what I meant. Yep. they're only used to access, like, secret areas. They don't hinder your advancement
at all. The game proper?
Yeah.
What I would do...
Just keep doing that.
I like that. I think that's kind of how things should be, especially for a lot of games nowadays where there's a lot of different ranges of people playing. There's, you know, everyone from babies to grandmas and, like, you know, hardcore gamers and, like, casual gamers, like, especially for, like, Nintendo games because it's the most accessible system series of games, all of them. Like, Nintendo is, like, the easiest to get into. I like it when everyone can play the main game, but the more you want out of it, the harder you have to work. So that's a good way to do it. It's just, like, you don't have to use an HM. But if you want to,
right?
You know, if you want to find out this area, if you want to find these Pokemon, like, you know.
Right, if you want to see what's at the top of that waterfall, or you want to see what's behind that boulder, you can, but you don't have to go there.
I also agree that, like, I shouldn't have to, like, if my Pokemon has giant claws and can learn Cut, that should not be a move. Like, there should be, like, a separate section where maybe you can only get 4 HM moves, or, like, you can only get, like, you know, however, like, you know, certain Pokemon can learn certain HM moves, so it's like you can only learn a couple, you know. So you can't just be like, oh, this one Pokemon knows 40 moves, you know, all HM moves. But, like, if they're outside of battle, if you made them not battle moves, there should be, like, a separate tab. That's what I would do anyway.
I don't know if that would make the interface clunky or not. Probably not. They already have menus inside of menus.
Yeah. Just put another tab next to,
if you
want to
break the whole game becomes menus. Do you have any Pokemon that you dislike? I don't want to be negative, but boy, are some Pokemon ugly, like the Girder line for me.
Oh, like Conkeldurr and...
Yep. Girder, Conkeldurr, and... Timber.
Timber. Okay, that's... Okay.
I have one Pokemon that I don't like.
What is it?
Sunflora.
Sunflora. You don't like Sunflora.
That thing is so stupid, and I hate it.
I hate the Vanillex, the Vanillice line.
I like them.
I know
they're
you
fine.
Like them. I hate them so much. I just think... like, I just... They're ice cream cones made of ice that have, like, methane straw exhaust pipes in their head. I just think it's real dumb. I also don't like a lot of Gen 3 Pokemon. I think they're just, like, the least inspired generation is Gen 3. I think, like, Gen 1 is like, hey, this is it. This is the first stuff. This is what we had. Then Gen 2 is like, all right, how do we build on this? And Gen 3 is like, oh, I guess it's a thing now, huh?
Well, Gen 3 the series was supposed to end at Gen 2.
Yeah, so they're just
but then
okay,
they were like, hey, we're making more, and they were like, well, crap, all right.
Crap. Okay, here's some just regular Pokemon. And Gen 4 and Gen 5 and 6, they're, like, trying to figure out what they're doing again, so they're, like, actively putting more into it. But I just do not like a lot of Gen 3 Pokemon, except for Zangoose. Zangoose is my boy.
Yeah, the only one I actively dislike is that stupid Sunflora. That dumb, smiley sunflower.
I don't have a problem with it, but
that thing is, it's a sunflower. Its head is a sunflower.
It's just a sunflower.
It has a stem, its arms are leaves, and it just has feet for no stupid reason. I hate that thing. If you were a starting trainer, which region would you like to start in? Assuming you can go to all of the regions eventually, what areas would you want to explore first? I would want to start in Johto. Specifically, I think I would be from Olivine Town, and I would hang out at the National Park a lot.
I also would start in Johto. I would start in...
This is assuming you get to choose where you're born and raised.
Right, yeah, because you don't normally. Right. Is there a snowy part of Johto?
Johto, yes. Mahogany Town. No, there's a snowy cave between Blackthorn and Mahogany Town, but neither of them are actually that snowy.
I would probably start in Mahogany or maybe Ecruteak. I like Ecruteak a lot.
There's a lot of history there. It's a good town.
And then, like we said it like a while ago, I also like Gen 6 a lot because it was the first one that I got into that was new after Gen 2. So, like, Lavaire is really cool. I think it's just like a weird town, and I like weird towns. And there is a snowy town in Gen 6, and I don't remember the name of it.
I don't remember.
Whatever the
snow. Wolfric is the gym leader, but I don't remember the name of the town.
Just because I like the cold and I like the snow, so, like, I would start, and I live in Texas.
Right.
So, so that's where I would start is there. Probably Johto, because I just like it so much.
I really like Johto. It's great.
It's real cool.
Loving the new podcast, guys. I'd definitely kick a few bucks your way if you ever did a Patreon. Keep up the great work. Harvey or Hoops, either is fine.
I've decided on Hoops.
We're going to call you Hoops.
We're gonna call you Hoops. I like the name Harvey. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but we're going to call you Hoops.
We're going to call you Hoops.
P.S. Jake, what did you think of the ending of Sparks Nevada? I thought the final line was the best final line to anything ever. Also, how hype are you for the Beyond Belief TV show?
So I'm going to answer the second question first. So hype. So hype. Beyond Belief TV show would be amazing.
Beyond Belief Fact or Fiction is not a new TV show. That show has been on forever.
No. We're talking about the Thrilling Adventure Hour. Okay, get on our level. Padgett Brewster as Sadie Parker. I routinely just like talk like Sadie Parker because...
Hey guys, Future Jake cutting in on my super high quality laptop mic. I don't know why I call her Sadie Parker. That's her maiden name? Her name's Sadie Doyle. I just wanted to correct that. I felt weird about it. I don't know what's going on there. Back to the episode.
It's the best voice in fiction. Like, it's great. As far as the Sparks Nevada thing, that final line was... I was at work. Okay, so I don't want to spoil it for anybody because it's a bombshell. It basically, it takes like the last like good chunk of Sparks Nevada and totally turns it on its head. That whole last episode was amazing. But that last line, I was like working and I just stopped and put my stuff down and like put my arms in the air and I was like, what? That's how you end it? What? That's how you do me? But in a good way. It was really good. I love Sparks Nevada and Beyond Belief, and I'm glad I found someone else who does.
All right.
Good taste.
I wasn't sure if I was going to throw that in or not, but I did, because it was part of the email, and dang it, that's the kind of guys we are.
Okay. And that's it.
That's it. That's going to wrap up this episode of Pokemon World Tour. Hope you guys had fun exploring Vermilion City.
I had some fun.
And, like, peeking at that route. That's kind of the way I want routes to go from now on.
It's just like, hey, this is what's here.
Yeah.
We don't need to
meander in there for very long.
You don't
long.
Stay on a route. You use it to get to the next town.
That's right.
If you guys have anything that you want to say to us, if you want to talk to us or interact in any way, shape, or form, it's super easy. Just type PWT Podcast into your favorite social media site and we'll come up.
Unless it's like Tout or something.
Yeah, we're not on Tout.
We're not on Tout.
We're not on Instagram because I don't know how to make two Instagram accounts.
Oh, we're on Tumblr. Do we need to be on Instagram too?
They're very different.
Are they?
Yeah.
Instagram's just pictures, right?
Yeah.
We're a podcast. We don't need...
We can put pictures of Pokemon.
We can post pictures on Tumblr. That's the point of it.
You can't. We're not on Instagram, though. PWT Podcast, wherever you want to go. Include our email, which is pwtpodcast@gmail.com.
And we're up on iTunes. You can go ahead over there. Download us, subscribe to us, leave us a rating and review.
We would super appreciate it.
If you want to stand on your rooftop and just shout Pokemon World Tour is a great podcast for everyone to hear.
If there's anywhere on the internet that you talk to other people that you want to maybe tell them about Pokemon World Tour.
Share us.
That's the most important thing is just getting the word out, letting people know that they can come on this journey with us.
If you do yell from your rooftop, post that on YouTube and send it to us.
Make a little video and just send it to us.
Especially if someone yells back at you. I want to see that. I love that.
The reaction to that. What? Y'all check it out. You seem very enthusiastic. I'll check it out.
If you Google PWT Podcast, unfortunately, you get a lot of pro wrestling torch stuff. So... help us grow so we can be first in Google.
We can beat the pro wrestling institution that is Pro Wrestling Torch and
so
be the number one
if
PWT.
If you tweet about us, hashtag first on Google.
Our theme song is the Destiny Infinite off the OC Remix album, the EVEP. It's by Dark Sword. The song, not the whole album. The song is by Dark Sword, DarkeSword. That's also his name on Twitter. Go find him, listen to his stuff. It's really awesome. And the whole EV album is online, available for free at ev.ocremix.com.
And the rest of the music in the podcast is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection, available on iTunes for the low, low price of $9.99. So go check that out.
Also, definitely check that out. I really like listening to it because I listen to it while I edit. It's like under a lot of it. So
yeah,
it's good stuff. All right, guys, we will see you in 2 weeks on December 2nd when we go to the Diglett Cave and the SSN. In one episode, a twofer.
Twofer. And that maybe will be quick. Who knows? But until then,
smell you later.